John chapter 1, and I'm going to read starting with verse 43. Hear now the word of God. The next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than this." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow with me for prayer? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Oh God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. John's gospel begins with that famous prologue where he says, "In the beginning was the Word, the Logos." John was borrowing a concept from Greek philosophy. Many of the Greek philosophers believed that there was an objective truth that held everything together, and it was called the Logos, the Word. But they believed that it was inaccessible. They believed that this objective truth that unites all reality together, we can have a dim apprehension of it, but it's out there so far distant from our little minds that we can never really get a hold of it. It's beyond us. So it's an earthquake to the Greek mind when John says, "In the beginning was the Word." That's not the earthquake yet, because the Greek philosopher would say, "Oh yeah, okay, in the beginning is the Word, I know that." And then John says, "And the Word, this truth that unites everything together, became flesh and lived among us, full of grace and truth." And then John goes on in the rest of chapter 1, showing Jesus calling his disciples. And there's two really wonderful invitations. Philip picks it up, but he learned it from Jesus. There was two disciples of John the Baptist that came to Jesus and said, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" He said, "Come and see." I think it's telling that he didn't demand of them that they understood the whole theology of the Logos. Just come along and see. And then there's this exchange between Philip and his brother Nathanael, where Nathanael is skeptical about Jesus, and Philip just says, "Come and see." Doesn't demand that he believe everything right up front. Just come along and see. Nathanael is skeptical, maybe even a little bit cynical. Now, I do think he's a seeker. He and his brother are seekers. We know that because Philip comes to him all excited. "We've met the one, I have met the one to whom all the law and the prophets," that's the whole of the Old Testament, "I've met the one to whom all of our scripture points, Jesus of Nazareth. And I want you to come meet him." And Nathanael, very cynically, skeptically, says, "Nazareth? That hick town? Can anything good. You see, people in Jerusalem really looked down their nose at Galilee. Nazareth is in Galilee. And that was Hicksville. Let me give you an illustration. I grew up in a little town called Easton, which is just a few miles south of Fresno, California. And it just separated by a few miles of farmland. Easton is much smaller, but it's what Meridian used to be to Boise before they grew together. Okay. When I was a boy growing up in a little town of Easton, to go to town meant to go to Fresno. And I thought that Fresno, California was the greatest city on earth. It had movie theaters. It had McDonald's. It had a skating rink. It had sporting goods stores that were filled up with shotguns and cool stuff. It was the center of the universe. And then when I went to college, of course, I lived in Fresno, moved all the way from Easton to Fresno, and learned that in Fresno, the center of the universe, we looked down our nose at Bakersfield. Bakersfield, what a pit. Who would live there? So imagine my surprise when I moved to the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, to go to seminary, and found out that, well, not just for the Bay Area, but for the rest of the world, what a pit. Fresno, who would live there? It's a bunch of farmers in bib overalls and straw hats growing raisins. In fact, you may remember that Carol Burnett and her comedy crew did a miniseries, or maybe you've forgotten it. It was very forgettable. But they did a miniseries. It was a spoof of Dallas, and it was called Fresno. Nathaniel could not believe that anything good or worthwhile, certainly not the answer to all their hopes, certainly not the one to whom all of their scriptures point, how could somebody like that come out of a place like Nazareth? There's a phenomenon going on in our culture right now that, in my observation is, anyway, that it's growing. Or maybe it's just coming out of hiding more. But there's a growing number of people who view Christianity the way that Nathaniel viewed Nazareth. To many people who consider themselves sophisticates and learned, Christianity, been there, done that. You know, I went to church when I was a kid, but I've outgrown that now. And I read a book by a famous atheist, and so now I've just discarded that. If you are a seeker today, and if there's a little bit of Nathaniel in you, and there's a little bit of Nathaniel in me, but if there's a little bit of Nathaniel in you, and maybe part of you is tempted to think nothing good can come out of Christianity, or maybe you know somebody who has that attitude and you're praying for somebody who has that attitude, I would urge to anybody who's wrestling with skepticism, don't make up your mind prematurely. Instead, take a risk. Come and see. You don't have to believe everything up front. Just come and see. And Jesus will win you over. It's kind of like, you make up your mind prematurely. You know how it works when you've lost something. Let's say you've lost your keys. And you know where they cannot be. And so you only look in the places where they can be. And then, when you've exhausted all of those places, finally, you humble yourself and you look where they can't be, and that's where you find them, right? Same thing with Jesus. Don't make up your mind prematurely. Don't cave in out of simple intellectual snobbery. One of the great poets of the 20th century was W.H. Auden. He was educated in England in 1939. He moved to New York City, Manhattan, very sophisticated place. And he had long left behind the Christianity of his boyhood that he had learned in the Church of England. He thought he was too sophisticated for it. And then World War II broke out. And Auden observed the evils of Nazism. And the more he observed that evil, and he saw that Nazism thrived, the evil of Nazism was thriving, not in an atmosphere of ignorance and intellectual darkness, but it was thriving in one of the most highly educated nations in the world. Germany boasted some of the finest universities in the world. And the leaders of Nazism were educated in those universities, most of them. And in that intellectual atmosphere, Nazism thrived. And Auden saw that he had nothing. If it's just my taste, what my opinion about what is right and good, versus their opinion about what is right and good, who's to say? Unless there's some ultimate truth, or as John would say, unless there's a logos that we can know, that will show himself to us. And W.H. Auden came back to the faith of his boyhood. He became a Christian. He became a follower of Jesus. Jesus said two life-changing things to Nathanael. First of all, Jesus said to him, as he saw him coming, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit. Jesus is affirming him for being blunt and plain speaking, which is probably about as polite as you could put it. Perhaps a lot of people didn't like Nathanael because he was blunt and plain speaking. Maybe he stepped on a lot of toes. But Jesus shows us something here, that he sees right through us. He knows exactly who we are, and he loves us and accepts us. Now, Nathanael is surprised at this insight that Jesus has toward him. And so he asked, how do you know me? And then Jesus drops a bomb on him. When you were under the fig tree, before your brother came and got you, I saw you. Now, just as an aside here, this is one of the reasons we can trust the authenticity of John's gospel, that this is an eyewitness account and not an invented fiction. Because John never explains to us what was Nathanael doing and what did Jesus see. If this is being made up, you wouldn't include that because it's just a rabbit trail and a distraction. John doesn't tell us because he didn't know. I have a favorite guess that Nathanael was praying under the fig tree, but we don't know. John doesn't tell us, once again, what was going on under the fig tree, but it impressed Nathanael enough that Jesus saw, that Jesus knew. He blurted out, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And then Jesus says, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Now, Jesus is making a reference there that every Jew would immediately recognize. That's what Jacob saw in his dream at Haran, when he laid his head down on a rock and went to sleep, and he had a dream. God gave him a dream that there would be a ladder connecting heaven and earth, and Jacob saw angels going up and down that ladder. In other words, that there would be a connection. Because our sin has created a stone barrier between us and heaven. But when Jesus says, you're going to see greater things than this, Nathaniel, you're going to see heaven opened. And the angels of God ascending and descending on me. In other words, I'm the ladder. I'm the bridge. I'm the Logos. Follow me. Come and see. You know, you'll hear some people say about finding God that there are many paths to the top of the mountain. Well, it's true that there are many paths, but they're all dead ends. There is no path for us to climb up to God. And thank God, that's not the gospel. The gospel is that heaven opened and the Logos, the Word, became flesh and came down to us in the valley who were incapable of climbing the mountain. Jesus is the way. He is the way and the truth and the life. And if there's any Nathaniel in you, if there's any skeptic in you, Jesus welcomes that. Come and see. He will win you over. Let's bow together in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came to us, not demanding that we climb the mountain to you, but you humbled yourself and left the glory of heaven and came down to seek and save us.